Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. My name is Shane Phillips and I'm joined by my colleague, Joe Carl. Both of us are here working at Provenance Wealth Advisors, which is a financial planning and investment firm located here in sunny South Florida. So today's topic, Joe, is the financial crisis revisited. So recently we hit the 10-year anniversary of the financial crisis back in 2008, and it's been making a lot of headlines. So I'm sure everybody has seen it and heard a lot about it, and we thought we would take today's episode and hit some of the high points. So first off, personally speaking, I was in college during much of the crisis, and back then I knew what was going on. I was learning about it in class, reading the Wall Street Journal, but I don't think I fully grasped what was happening. I was kind of in that college atmosphere, but since then, having read a lot of books, read a lot about all this stuff, watched movies. They made one movie, The Big Short, which was actually a better book, but a great movie for the mainstream that I think did a pretty good job of explaining it. But we're going to touch on a lot of those same topics here today.
Yeah, so this is something that I remember very clearly as I started working in the industry in 2007. I can recall to this day what I was doing the day before Lehman filed for bankruptcy. I remember there sitting watching markets as Congress initially rejected TARP. As an economics major in college, this is something that we studied, or the subprime mortgage crisis is something we discussed quite frequently leading up to that. And at this point, it was all coming to a head, and living it at this point in my life was kind of surreal.
Yeah, and it's been interesting talking to different people recently about their experiences, a lot of different experiences. But to get started, the first thing we're going to cover is just the markets in general, not what caused everything. But when we look at the markets from about the peak in 2007 to the bottom in 2009, global stock markets dropped about 50%. So I'm just going to run through a few asset classes here and what they did in 2008 alone. So three asset classes actually had very similar results, down about 37%. The S&P 500, which is U.S. stocks, REITs, and commodities were all down about 37%. International developed stocks were down over 40%, and emerging market stocks were down almost 50%. So all the major stock markets were down quite a bit. Bonds, on the other hand, were slightly positive, depending on what types of bonds you were in, but just a very bad year, clearly. And some of the daily volatility was just incredible as well. Just looking back, there was days where the S&P was down 7.5%, 8.5%, 9%. And just a very volatile time, and so much different than what we've seen in markets recently.
Yeah, so usually markets tend to react and digest information before things occur. But in this situation, things were occurring each and every day. Markets were trying to digest what does it mean long term for our economy, for our country. And so there were some major swings, some of the worst that we will probably ever see in our lifetime.
Yeah, and on the opposite side, like those major swings you said, we had positive days where they're positive 10%, positive 11%. So a very interesting market, very day-to-day driven. So the next area we're going to talk about is housing. So a lot of people look back as housing probably being one of the main causes of the financial crisis. And probably the reason why is housing is the largest asset for most people. When I own a home, that's usually the largest asset on my balance sheet. And because of what happened to the housing market, a lot of this ended up what was happening.
Yeah, and this housing is really where it all started. And as Shane mentioned earlier, The Big Short is a great movie that illustrates a lot of that. So if you want to take some time to learn about this a little bit more, that's a great movie to watch. But housing is where it really started. And you can really break this down into four reasons why we're able to get to this situation as bad as it was.
Yeah, and we talked about the first reason being housing and mortgages more specifically. So during that time, interest rates were very low and lending standards were very low. So two things that made it very attractive for the normal person to go get a mortgage. So somebody could go in with very low income, very low assets, and get a mortgage that was probably way too big for them. And then some people took that even further and got a second house, a vacation house. They got a condo. And all of this kind of built up to people being very over-levered, But during the time, it seemed like they were maybe doing the right thing because banks were willing to lend.
Yeah, and what helped fuel a lot of this is something called securitization. And that's just, it sounds kind of complex, but it's really rather simple. If you think of it in the sense of we have one mortgage and that mortgage gets approved, that mortgage was getting passed on and they were pulling them together as in one big group. And if we think of it as 100 mortgages now, the 10 best mortgages would be at the higher tranches of this. The worst would be at the bottom, and there would be levels all between. And the idea was that by separating these into different tranches, we were properly quantifying the risk, and therefore it was easy to take these on and pull them together. That's kind of what fueled it after the easy lending standards.
Mm-hmm. And when you say, you know, kind of pulling these, structuring these, what came out in people's minds was a very low-risk security, and rating agencies backed that up by giving them very high ratings. So that kind of gave the okay, I guess, to say, yep, you know, these, based upon what we've done with these, securitizing them, these are very safe assets, or like you said, pulling the worst mortgages being riskier assets.
Yeah, and next was something called credit default swaps. And these are really a small premium was paid for an insurance contract, so to speak, so that if one of these mortgages or the pool of mortgages went bad, the insurance premium was paid. These were viewed as relatively safe, so some insurance companies wrote a whole lot of these thinking that they'd never ever actually have to pay on them, but when things started to go south, they did, or their liability was there, and it really started to show how bad this was going to be.
Yeah, and I just picture, you know, the saying of picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. You know, kind of same idea, they made money, and then they got hit by the steamroller. And then lastly, in this housing area, what ended up kind of being a major issue, all of these were issues in themselves, that all of them were connected. So what we saw kind of leading up into 2008 was some cracks in these areas in 2006 and 2007. And I always remember people telling me, grow up, you know, housing is the one thing that always goes up. Housing is always a great investment because it never loses money. And all of a sudden we're faced with houses lowering their prices. So the housing market in general lost about 30%. We saw people stop paying their mortgages because they couldn't afford them. We saw people who thought they could just keep refinancing their house as prices went up, no longer being able to do that because prices were going down. And at the end of it all, we saw foreclosures happening at a crazy pace that really built up to make the whole housing situation a huge, huge problem.
Yeah, so we just went through some of the, you know, really the four reasons why all of this was able to occur. And the final reason was really the fact that why we got into as bad of a situation as we did was the fact that all of these financial aspects are related in some way or another. And it really all kind of happened very quickly and impacted basically all segments of the economy.
Yep. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the government's involvement. So there is some controversy around this, whether it was helpful, whether it was their place to be in. But with that said, we're going to talk about the Fed. So the Federal Reserve did play a role in trying to help the markets, and they did really, in our eyes, kind of three main broad functions. One was providing liquidity to the market. The market needed more liquidity when some of these things were occurring. Businesses, banks just didn't have the money to run day-to-day operations, and they helped in that area. They supported some weak markets or institutions. One specific example were money market funds, usually a very, very safe investment that got into potentially some trouble. They stepped in to kind of stop that risk, stop any, I guess, bank runs, but on money market funds, which was beneficial. And then lastly, what they did, which is the opposite of what they're doing now, but is the Fed lowered interest rates back then. So they were raising interest rates up until about June 2006, and then late 2006, 2007, and then all the way to the end of 2008, cut rates along the way, and basically got to a Fed funds rate of about zero.
Yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, the government can't control the economy or can't completely eliminate a financial crisis, but they have tools at their disposal to try and help encourage the economy, and they were essentially using every possible tool they could, what seemed like almost every day.
Yep. And another institution that also kind of was hand in hand with the Fed was the Treasury Department, and the most notable thing that they did was the TARP program. It started out as about a $700 billion, people call it bailout program. And basically, it was investing in some of these large financial institutions. So this is maybe one of the more controversial areas that happened. At the end of the day, they invested only about, I believe, $400-450 billion, still quite a bit of money. But at the end of the day, they actually made a profit of about $15 billion. So whether you think they should have done it or not, I guess it kind of helped the government from that standpoint. And then lastly, one of the bigger names in all of this was Lehman Brothers. So the government did bail out various financial institutions, gave help to various financial institutions, but at the end of the day, Lehman Brothers was one that went bankrupt. And at the time, it was the largest bankruptcy in history. Lehman Brothers was founded in 1850, so they had been around forever. They've been on Wall Street forever. So kind of when that happened, people knew things were bad, but that was kind of one of those things that happened that maybe kind of shocked people a little bit further.
Yeah, and Lehman in itself wasn't the cause of the crisis, but it was probably one of the names that's most synonymous with the crisis. But kind of moving on, if you look at the timeline of the financial crisis, there are a lot of things that happened. Major decisions were made, and they had to be made very quickly to help stave this off. And while there's a lot of confusion, misunderstanding, and anger about all of this and why it occurred, we can both sit here and say that they made a lot of really good decisions because the economy is much better off today than it was at that terrible moment almost roughly 10 years ago. At the end of the day, the economy operates on human decisions, and a lot of those decisions are driven by people's confidence in their future. Financial markets have many rules and regulations in place to help avoid these types of situations, but at the end of the day, financial markets are driven by fear and greed. And at this moment, we had our confidence completely undermined in terms of the economy, and fear was driving financial markets, and the government was trying to take action to try and store, take away that fear and confidence, and they did a pretty good job.
Yeah. So just to kind of recap things, I mean, we talked about how bad some investment markets were during that time, kind of how the housing situation from various perspectives was getting worse and worse and worse, some of the government involvement, whether good or bad, and then kind of finally Lehman Brothers, which was kind of the big institution that went under during that time. So a very difficult time in the financial history, like we said, about 10 years ago. So hopefully some things were learned by that. But we thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions, please reach out to us at podcast@provwealth.com, or you can check out our Twitter handle @financepodcast. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investing involves risk, and you may incur profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.